to you this morning in the blessed name of Jesus. With the word of life, the water that quenches every thirst. Indeed, indeed. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. He is the answer. That's what they're looking for. Don't know it, some of them. And we have an awesome task, privilege, to bring him to them. People will come across, people will deal with, talk to on the phone, neighbors on the personal level, or even the business level, if God opens the door. And he's always looking to open an avenue of you telling people about Jesus. Because you know, when you give your son to die for a purpose, that's going to be uppermost in your mind. Amen? Mm-hmm. So it's us being willing, being bold, like we pray today, to share. Because remember now, this when God got this across to me, helped me a lot. Remember now, what is it about Jesus that you should be embarrassed about? I mean, what? Amen? What, anything wrong with him? So why should we, in any way, shape, or more fashion, be intimidated and show any kind of embarrassment for being associated with him? You know, he's the one person whose autograph everybody ought to want. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, no. It's a privilege to be associated with Jesus. That must be the way we think. He's the biggest of the biggest of stars. Hallelujah. And he hasn't been involved in any shenanigans either. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Oh, I tell you what, I love Jesus. Amen. I know you do too. But you know, you got to say some of this thing. You can't just hold it. You got to express it. The more you express that, the deeper your love goes. That's why you should say it. Huh? That's the reason for saying it. The deeper your love goes, that's how you can grow in love. Amen. Can you love more? Of course you can love more. Mary loved Jesus more than the disciples. She went to the grave, and when she didn't find the body, she didn't just say, oh, well, you know, one of them things. I went back home. Oh, no. She was crying. She was desperate. What have they done with my Lord? Where is he? And the disciples came, looked in, didn't see him, and just went back. Yeah, you can love more. Hallelujah. Okay. Don't take that out of my time, all right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's go to our main scripture. This is where we took off from. Genesis chapter 36, verse number 7. Talking about Esau and Jacob, for their riches were more than they might dwell together. Remember now, this is the old covenant. Not nearly as good as our covenant. We have a better covenant established on better blood and better promises. My goodness. Their riches were more than they might dwell together. They wanted to, but they could not. Because the land wherein they were strangers could not handle all of their stuff. My goodness. The bandits in your county can't handle your deposits. Got to go past the county. Because like I've said, if you're going to be wise, you can't put more than $250,000 in the bank. I mean, we speak of that. I know people who, Christians, believers, ministers of the gospel who are living that life. It's available for a purpose. God doesn't only want you rich, God has made you rich beyond your wildest dreams. He has already done it. Just as much as he's already saved every person on this planet, he's already done his part. They have to come receive it. He's already healed everybody. Huh? Amen. They have to come receive it. Likewise, he's already provided every penny you could ever want or desire. Amen. The three majors of the curse: spiritual death, sickness and disease, and poverty. He's already made you rich. So we talked about money averse churchianity. And when I did for a little bit there, let me review a little bit here, and then we'll pick up from there. And so, we talked about the hundredfold, and the question is, well, can God, did Jesus mean what he said? My goodness. That's like saying, did David really kill Goliath? Amen. Did the Red Sea really part? Amen. It is supernatural, no doubt. But that's supposed to be our realm. We are men and women of the supernatural. The problem is, too much of the time, we're living in the natural. We are living in a pig pen, when we ought to be flying like eagles. Glory to God. Up above it all. Amen. So it is supernatural, no doubt. But that's the realm of God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. And so we began to look, at Genesis 15. Because of what God did, when God told Abraham what he was going to do, and it looked like it was too good to be true, like it was fantastical and fantasy, he said, come here, boy. Let me show you something. Took him outside the tent. Showed him the stars. Look up there. Can you count that? I did that. So don't you doubt me, boy. That's what he meant. Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. You can read that. I'm not going to read it. I'm reviewing. I got plenty to say. We told you that God has 200 billion trillion stars. Man! We told you that, there are about 8 billion people on the planet. That's it, 8 billion. There have only been 117 billion people that have lived since Adam. God has 200 billion trillion stars. You know how many zeros that is? That's 23 zeros. In stars. And you're going to doubt that he can multiply your dollar 100-fold? Really? Man, I tell you, I've gone into these numbers and remember now, God did this. He showed Abraham the stars. He's into numbers. You want an heir? And I told you you're going to get an heir, and you kind of wonder about it. Well, let me show you what else I've done to help you out, help you believe. If I've done that, I can do this. That's the point of the numbers. Okay. So, and then we talked about the amount of wealth in the world. This is 1985 figures, right? We came up to about 52 trillion of the gold and the silver and the wheat and the corn and all of that. That's 1985 estimate. If nothing else, by inflation, it's a lot more now. Can God manage to send some of that your way if you receive it and believe for it? It's not automatic. Told you that everyone who has given to the kingdom has already had deposited in their account 100-fold. If you've ever given a penny, because Jesus said it in Mark 10, it's already done. It's a matter of receiving. Just like salvation is a matter of receiving. Just like healing is a matter of receiving. There's nothing else God has to do for anybody before anybody can get born again. Nothing. Nothing else God has to do for anybody to get healed of anything. Nothing. When it comes to the third area of the curse, poverty, not enough, barely making it, there's nothing else God has to do. It's a matter of us coming to receive. Amen. And has demonstrated that he can. We told you about the orange seed. One orange seed. Grow an orange tree that can produce about 100 and 300 oranges per growing season for almost a century. I mean, think of that. We don't doubt that because we see it. See, that's our problem. When we can see it, we believe it. Well, he doesn't live in that realm. God lives in the realm of faith. Told you about a corn. One kernel of corn. Planted. Grows up to a stalk with so many cobs of corn. Each cob of corn has about 300 to 200 kernels of corn. Think about that. If you do the math, that's 10,000 fold, not just 100 fold. Can God? Of course he can. So it's a matter of receiving. What did we tell you? Receiving and withdrawing from your account in heaven. We told you that. Matthew chapter 6. How do you withdraw? Believe what's there. Meditate enough to believe in 100 fold. In fact, if you're me, I'm going for the 1,000-fold. Amen. Because he can. In fact, he has. Let me show you that. I've shown you that before, but it's repeating. Sometimes the people listen to us that don't know this thing. So that's why we're on social media to help people out there too as well. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Jesus talked about 100-fold. Moses talked about 1,000-fold. Deuteronomy chapter 1 verse 11. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times as many. Evidently, led by the Spirit of God, he believed that and prayed it. Moses, the man of God. The things I have in my heart, it takes 1,000-fold to do it. But you can believe 400-fold. 100-fold is a stretch hole. I've been meditating 100-fold for a long time, which is why I can hop onto the 1,000-fold. You know, because to me it's nothing. Absolutely nothing to God. It's on my end, not his end. We told you that maybe the reason why many Christians are not receiving up to the 100-fold is because we're not living to be 120. That's another supernatural, otherworldly, fantastical number to too many Christians. Because when they hear 120, they think about being burned over in the cane, and who wants to live like that? That's not what we're talking about. Moses lived to be 120. Again, that's old covenant. And the Bible says he was strong as ever. Caleb, when he got to be 80, he said, I feel like I'm 40. Lord, give me my mountain. I'll take on those giants right now. Bang! And that's old covenant. That is old covenant. And we have a better problem. Let me see if I can find. I believe it's Romans chapter 8. Better covenant establishes some better promises. You know, and we talk about all of this, David slaying the giant and all that, and it's old covenant. The three Hebrew boys, that's old covenant. We got a better thing going for us. Where is that? I think it's help me, Lord. Book of Romans, I believe it's Romans, maybe something else. Somebody check your concordance real quick, let me know. For better promises. Establishing better promises. Better covenant. Was it Hebrews? It could be Hebrews. Hebrews 8. Let me check that. I want to show you that.
8:6.
Is it Hebrews? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, it is Hebrews. Hebrews 8:6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry. Talk about Jesus. By how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Amen. So when New Testament Christians hear it will live to be up to 120, they all think, not a big deal. Can God? Oh yeah. Can his grace get me there? Yes. Not relying on myself. Amen. In fact, it almost, I would have been killed a long time ago in my wayward days. I think of an accident I had just now. Out chasing girls, you know. Drinking, parties, car full of girls. Not Jerry, come to one of those runabouts. I plowed right straight into it. I must have been drunk. Plowed right straight into it. I got out of there, not even a scrape. I mean, that's how much I can do on my own. So we'll count on him. We'll count on him. And he can do whatever you're able to believe him for. That's in his word. Okay, so maybe that's why we're not, because you have the Mark 10:30 tells us that you have a lifetime. Not because it takes him a lifetime, it takes us a lifetime to receive it. Huh? He's already done it. Some of us haven't even believed it yet. Well, you haven't even believed it. You haven't even started on the road to receiving it. Then, of course, you got to deal with all of the, you know, the things the devil might try to do to get you to discourage and say, oh, well, yeah, you know, I mean, your life is good as it is now. Yeah, make you selfish. It's not about me. I don't personally want a hundredfold. It's for the stuff I want to do for people. That's the name of the game. Bless you and make you a blessing is the make you a blessing part. What little I got can't bless more people, much people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so we talked about some yeah, but, you know. Do you know anybody who has received a hundredfold? Just because you don't know, that means it's not so. We can't reduce the scripture to our level. Well, you know, if there was more of it in your life, we'd believe it more. I told you, if Jesus walked through Jerusalem with his hands open and they could clearly see the holes in his hand, they still wouldn't believe it. There'll come up some other excuses. It's greed. No, it's not greed. Greed has nothing to do with what you want. It has everything to do with how much you keep. Huh? Keeping what you're supposed to have given is the problem, is the greed. Wanting more so it can be a blessing can never be greed. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Yeah, well, but I gave so many thousands of dollars last year. If I receive the hundredfold, I'll be like Bill Gates. I told you, that's the point. That is exactly the point. Huh? That's the point. He wants Christians to be loaded, tongue-talking, divine healing believing, help the poor-minded Christians. He wants them loaded. He wants them to be the big gates of the world. Okay, I don't want to repeat what I talked last time, but you haven't received the hundredfold, be honest. Well, I told you I have. I told you about the car we lived in, the house we lived in. We are probably a thousandfold. Okay. So what we talk about here is not for those who are watching. You know, boy, you should talk a lot, but I don't talk about it near enough. There's a dearth of teaching about this subject matter. So this is not what we do before we take an offering. This is what we used to look at it. I used to look at it like that. Now we're talking about biblical economics. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We're not just saying this for the sake of receiving an offering. All right, so here's where we start today. No Christian anywhere should be broke. Not one. Not in Asia, not in Africa, not in any village in India, not a single Christian ought to be broke. That's like saying not a single person on the planet ought to be unsaved. See that? We got to keep making these comparisons. Look at the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 15. In fact, there's enough wealth on this planet for nobody to be broke. But you know, it's in the wrong hands, right? Which is why the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Now you tell me how the just will be broke if they get it. Deuteronomy chapter 15. Talking here about, begins to talk about the Jubilee. The Jubilee. You know, bankruptcy, all of that. Some of those ideas came from the Bible. Amen. At the end of the 7 years, there should be a huge release. Okay, if you people owe you something, let it go. Look to me, I'll make it up for you. So forth. Okay? And then it goes down to verse 4. It says, you ought to do that until, or save, when there shall be no more poor among you. So obviously, that's the goal, is it not? Do the Jubilee until there's no more poor person among you. Because that's what he wants. That's the goal. In fact, when I said that cross-reference, he says, to the end that there be no poor among you. That's the you know, the meaning of the Hebrew, if you translate all of it. These are God's people. He doesn't want any of them broke. There's no reason why a Christian anywhere should be broke. Not one. Not one. Because our Father is not a deadbeat dad. Huh? Think about it, you see? But too many Christians, it's on our end, it's not his fault. It is not his fault. It's on our end. Too many Christians are not even the prodigal son. You know the story of the prodigal son? He asked his father for his inheritance, took it and left. That's in the book of Luke chapter 15, you can read about it. Took the money, left and squandered it. We're not even doing that. We're just kind of drifting off and leaving Father's house without his instructions. We're just abandoned. At least he took some stuff with him and lived high for a while. We're not even doing that. We're just deciding, well, you know, when it comes to money, we'll go talk in the bank. That's our source of money. We'll go talk to our financial counselor. Listen to them tell us how we ought to buy used cars and use this and use that. Glory be to Jesus. Amen. We're not even acting like the prodigal. At least he has some sense. He took some stuff with him. We're just out there broke. And our Father is almighty. And he lives on the streets of gold. But we're down here broke. Can't even feed ourselves. Something wrong with that picture. It's not with him. It's with us. Our lack of belief and study of this subject so we can receive what he has provided for us. That's the problem. What would you think if Elon Musk's children were broke? Huh? Wouldn't you think something's wrong? Really wrong? Huh? And when it comes to God, now, naturally, you know, we have children, if we have any, right? We have children, and then when they go to be 18 and 20, they're kind of on their own. You know, they go to school, graduate from college, have their own lives. We kind of don't expect them to call us every day anymore to ask for this and ask for that. Did you know, because now they become adult children. Did you know you never become an adult child with God? I don't care if you're 100 years old, you're still his children. I like that, man. I can call him anytime. Hey, Paul! Like Jesse does, if he gets a beer, he says, Jesus, you have a bill. Yeah, we'll always remain children. They're 2, 3 years old, where he has full responsibility over us.
Amen.
That's how he looks at it. That's how we should all look at it. Which is why we're doing such a great dishonor to him, walking around all broke, busted, and disgusted. When our Father, such a poor reflection of who he is. And it's not his fault, because we won't listen. We don't want this subject taught. Because the devil comes and messes up our feelings and emotions and makes us uncomfortable. I'm going to hit myself over here. So then, you know, that's money averse churchianity. It's induced by fear. That's what it is, fear. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. So when you fear, it doesn't come from God. There's nothing absolutely good about fear. Nothing. Not a thing. It's a spirit. It doesn't come from God. So because of fear, ministers like myself are afraid to be lumped together with some ministers and the worst things that some ministers have done about money. So because we don't want to be lumped with them, we don't want to talk about it too much. Left to be lumped with them. See, that's self-preservation, is it not? Meanwhile, congregations are not getting taught in this area of life. And we can't say it's not an important area of life, is it? Every one of them is going to get up there tomorrow, Monday, 8 hours, trying to make money. So preachers are afraid. Believers are also afraid. Huh? Because when the minister conjures up enough courage to talk about it, folks are very uncomfortable. And not bad people. Not bad people. See, it's fear. Fear that, you know, I don't have enough to begin with. And if I listen to all of that, I might be convinced to part with what little I got, and then I'm left with even less. So don't even go there. And consequently, we're devoid of the knowledge. Oh boy. Have I got a scripture for you here? Look at Hosea. What the Bible says about not knowing. You know, people sometimes say, what I don't know can't hurt me. From what planet have you come? Really? Oh, yeah. No, what you don't know can kill you. Stone dead. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, chapter 4. Oh, Jesus. Verse number, let's start from verse 6. My people are destroyed. Huh? Destroyed. That's a strong word, is it not? My people are destroyed. My people. I can't protect them. Because they have chosen a path of destruction. And I'm not going to impose my will on them. If that's what they want, what can I do? They have a free will. My people are destroyed. Hosea 4:6. For lack of knowledge. My goodness. And then it says, because you have rejected knowledge. So in this case, because we have rejected knowledge about biblical economics. We're broke as a result. Busted and disgusted. Again, there's no reason why any Christian, anyone on this planet should be broke. Any child of God, loving Heavenly Father, who is loaded, something wrong with that picture, isn't it? If I'm loaded and my child can't eat, something's wrong. It Either I'm not making my supply available, or they have rejected my ways and are doing their thing. That's the problem. Go to the banker, go to experts and all that, or forget what God has said about how this is supposed to work. Notice what it says, they have rejected knowledge. See, it's one thing to be destroyed because you just don't know any better. Huh? And then you were up on the roof and you didn't know you were on the edge and you took another step the wrong direction and you fell off. Well, that's one thing. That's bad. But to purposely reject, you can't reject by accident, can you? Rejection is an act of the will. Because you have rejected my way of doing things, knowledge, I will also reject you. That you will not be my priest, my representative. Seeing that you have forgotten the law, thank God, I'll also forget that you. Now, you got to put this up in the New Testament context. Jesus said he would never leave us or forsake us. So this is a matter of us living him. See, he will never leave us or forsake us, but he won't tie us to himself either. Huh? We can leave him and do our thing purposely, or we can just drift away. Amen. Although the father of the prodigal dearly missed him and wanted him back, did you notice he didn't go looking for him? Because that's what he wanted to do. But when he was ready to come back home, he was ready. He had been ready every day. Like I said before, the reason why he saw him from afar off is because he'd been looking for him to come home. What should have happened was the senior brother, the older brother, should have commissioned a search party. Let's go find my little brother. That's evangelism. And you can't do it if you're broke either. Not as well as you should. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So fear. Fear. Fear on the part of preachers because they'll be misunderstood and long through some of the terrible things pastors and so forth have done about money. Fear on the part of believers because they don't have enough to begin with and it looks like they're going to have even less if they listen to this and give. Isn't that the depth of deception? How are you going to receive if you don't give? Jesus said, give and it shall be given to you. So if you want to give, how are you ever going to receive? You see how the devil has gotten all people all twisted in this? The very thing that they should do, they are not doing because the devil has told them that's going to leave you worse off. Jesus didn't know what he was talking about when he said, give and it shall be given to you. So consequently, God's people are destroyed, financially destroyed. You know it, I know it. Financially destroyed. They'll have told the people out there, and they come and say, are you a prosperity preacher? I'm not a poverty preacher, that's for sure. You see that? That's like intimidation to get you to think, I better not say anything more about that. You come too late for me. Way too late. There's nothing poor in heaven. Not even close. Check out Solomon's temple. My goodness. And God gave him the instructions for all of that. Come here with a demonic, devilish, you know, intimidation. You a prosperity preacher. Oh, yes, I am. I plead guilty. 1,000 times guilty of that. You'll never hear me preach poverty. Neither will you hear Jesus preach poverty. In fact, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. What's good in the poor? I have come. You don't have to be poor no more. Mm-hmm. So let's forget it. Let's, you know, Christians ought to be demanding of their pastors. Huh? Pastor, you know, I get joy and peace and patience, you know, walking in love and grace. But Pastor, this money thing, it is slapping me upside my head. How do you get what you get ahead? Huh? Christians ought to be demanding this teaching. Nobody gets up every morning and goes to work 8 hours for love and joy and peace. Do they? No, they go out to work for money. But somehow God left this area untouched. He just had nothing to say about it in his word. We are on our own when it comes to that. What a lie of the devil. Fear says, get all you can all you get, sit on the can. You can't nobody get any of it. Fear says, watch your money. Fear says, is it in the budget? Let me show you what Jesus thinks about budgets. Oh, brother, Mark chapter 6. Budgets are not bad. Don't get me wrong. But look at verse number 31. Mark 6:31. They just told him, you know, John had been murdered and so forth. So he said, let's go. Let's take some time off. Come you yourself apart into a desert place and rest a while. Jesus is for rest, amen? Mm-hmm. Let's have some leisure, because haven't even had enough leisure so much as to eat. These guys are busy. And so they departed to a verse 32, to a place to have some privacy and rest. But oh, here comes the crowds. The crowds heard about it. Jesus is over there. Well, let's go. So they came. The Bible says he taught them many things, verse 34. Verse 35, when the day was now far spent, his disciples said, Lord, it's time to end the meeting. Imagine that. Imagine them telling Jesus when to end. Close down the crusade, God. Jesus, this area is deserted. It's a deserted place, and the time is far spent. Send the people away so that they can go get some stuff in the villages and buy themselves bread. Because our budget has no place to feed these people. We don't have feeding these people in our budget. That's what they were saying. And Jesus said, give them to eat. I would like to see their faces when he said that. And you know the rest of this. They said, well, how are we going to do that? And they said unto him, shall we go buy 200 penny worth of bread? We don't have the money in the budget, Jesus. And he said unto them, how many loaves do you have? Bring them to me. And you know what he did with them. Again, like I said, budgets are not bad. Budgets are planning tools. Budgets are not supposed to They're not supposed to rule you. For too many people, that's what it is. God comes speaking to you, so-and-so haven't paid their mortgage. Take $1,000 out of your savings and go help them out. Oh, that's not in the budget, though. Not in the budget. Budgets are planning tools. They're not to control you. Amen. So what's the cure for not having? We don't talk about it. The cure for not having no finances is to give tithes and offerings. That's it. Give it in faith. See, that's what's missing. Give it in faith based on full knowledge of God's promises concerning finances. Give it in faith.
getting fit. It doesn't help. Some of them bring arguments about, well, the tithe is Old Testament and this, that, and the other. I have an easy test for you, friend. If people in the Old Testament who didn't have as nearly a good covenant as you have, if they were given 10%, shouldn't you be doing more than that? You New Testament, God didn't live in them. They had to go to a priest. If they wanted to hear from God, they had to go see a priest. You don't have to do that. You can get into your closet and talk to Jesus yourself. Should you be doing less than they did? See, that's an easy test. Yeah. Call it anything you want to. If you don't want to call it a tithe, don't. At the end of the year, your giving ought to be more than 10%. If it's not, you're just making a bunch of excuses. I mean, just be blunt about it, right? If Old Testament was supposed to give 10%, you New Testament, well, we don't have to. We can just, because of the age of grace, there ain't not that much grace, I can tell you that. I'll tell you that. There are still some things you have to do. You still have to love your neighbor. Mm-hmm. Amen. But that's the solution. With knowledge, though, giving knowledge about it. And when you do, you can't expect 100-fold. Jesus said it. I didn't say it, he said it. Did he mean it? Yes. We talked about a number of things that people have said about it. So let's give you some more things that said. First of all, the question is, can God, and has he? God can, and he has delivered. So think about this now. Think about this. How much money is in circulation out there right now as we speak, you think? In the whole world, how much money is in circulation? I looked it up. Somewhere between $36 and $90 trillion, with a T. Depending on if you count all the gold and the silver or just the paper money. God has, you should know that number by now, 200 billion trillion stars that they know of. That they know of. I have a suspicion it's a lot more than that. Up to $90 trillion in circulation of money, God has 200 billion trillion stars. Can God give you 100-fold? My goodness. There's something else. There are 8 billion people on the planet right now. If the 8 billion people on the planet gave $1,000 each to the kingdom, and believe to receive not 100-fold, but 1,000-fold. Did you know that God has enough stars to make every one of those 8 billion people a millionaire in stars? Amen. That's what 200 billion trillion means. And then some. Because if you give $1,000 to the kingdom, and you believe for 1,000-fold, that's a million, is it not? 8 billion times a million is 8 quadrillion. That's 15. I learned some new words studying about this. So 8 billion times 1 million is 8 quadrillion. That's 15 zeros. The next level is what's called a quintillion. That's 18 zeros. But the number of stars is not even there. The next level after a quintillion is what's called a sextillion. A sextillion is a billion trillion. So if every one of those 8 billion people gave $1,000, and believe, not for 100-fold, but 1,000-fold, which means a million. A million times a billion times 8 billion is only 8 quadrillion, only 15 zeros.
God has 200 billion sextillions, 23 zeros, compared to 15. In other words, God has enough stars to make every human being alive in millionaire stars. And then so, how can you dare think 100-fold is a big deal? We're talking about 1,000-fold here. In stars, no, not in dollars or pesos or naira or something. In stars. S-T-A-R-S. So then, I hate this idea. I try to find out how much is a star worth. But they don't know that. They have no idea. I come to the International Astronomical Society. I say, okay, fine. Okay, you guys don't know. You don't know. The point is, remember now, we're going to, because God took Abraham out of the tent and showed him the stars as proof that he could believe what he was telling him he was going to do for him. Yeah, 200 billion trillion is 23 zeros. You know how much Texas is worth? The state of Texas? I looked it up. Texas has 268,596 square miles, which is about 172 million acres. The average acre in Texas, undeveloped, 4,670. Well, you know that's something that is a lot more than that. Average. That works out to about 800 billion. Of undeveloped acres in Texas. Throw in another 200 billion for all the development, and you end up with a trillion. So the state of Texas worth 1 trillion, or maybe it's a little more, and God has 200 billion trillion stars. Which means God can buy Texas 200 billion times over. But you know what? He doesn't have to bother with that, because he already owns Texas. That's your father. So, if you don't want to believe 100-fold, that's on you. But you can't say it's not possible, it's fantastical, it's a fantasy. It's not. Jesus said it, I believe it. Amen. So here's some more yearbuds. For 100-fold. Maybe you just had 100-fold one time. Well, that proves that it can be regular, right? If it's not regular, that's not God, that's my fault. Well, Mark 10:24-30 says nothing about money. Let's look at Mark 10. Doesn't really say anything about money. Are you sure about that? Mark 10:29. Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left houses, left house or brethren or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands. Houses and lands, that's not money. Anybody will tell you real estate is one of the most secure and better financial assets you can have. So how are you going to say that's not talking about money? Besides that, look at Book of Acts chapter 4. Because they talk about children and mothers and this. He talks about lands and houses. Those are monetary assets. Book of Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 33. Move of God. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Now we'll talk about money, are we not? For as many of them as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Let's talk about money when it says lands and houses. So don't tell me the hundredfold says nothing about money. It does. Well, go back to Mark 10. Mark 10. Jesus said, someone who has left. This, I found this a little bit comical. Not to be disrespectful of folks who think like this, but I really did find it a little comical. Because it says, well, it says Jesus said, whoever who has left, verse 29, there is no man who has left houses. And then the objection is, well, you don't leave money, you give money. I thought, are you serious? If I gave $1,000 to the church, wrote a check for it, $1,000 left my bank account, didn't it? Huh? Didn't it leave my bank account? How are you going to say, Jesus said if you left? He says left. It doesn't say about giving. I thought, come on now. Okay. Look at Luke 8:18. Talk about objections. The idea that when Jesus said a hundredfold, he couldn't have meant a literal hundredfold. That's like saying, when the Bible says the Red Sea dried up, it didn't mean it literally dried up. Or when it says the walls of Jericho fell down, it doesn't mean it literally fell down. In fact, if you do the study of that Jericho wall, there's reason to believe that when it says it fell down, it sunk straight down. Because the people then were able to come in and help themselves with stuff. Well, now if you see a big old gigantic wall, if they collapse like we think, they couldn't get over that. It would be piles of rocks all over the place. Those walls were straight down. Don't mess with my God. If you don't want to believe the hundredfold, that's on you. Don't tell me he didn't mean it. I said he can't do it. Just because you don't have it. Just because I don't. That's not on him. It's on us. So now I'm here. But that's it. Luke 18. Look at verse 28. The third. It says, where Luke's rendition of it, it says, verse 30, who shall not receive manifold more? It just says more. Jesus didn't say hundredfold. Well, you have to, if you're trying to find out the truth about scripture, you have to take that subject and look at all the scriptures about it. In Mark 10:30, he says hundredfold. In Mark chapter 4, he also says 30, 60, or a hundredfold. So when it says here, it was many, manifold more. How much more? Up to a hundredfold. Well, if you take the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1, you can get to 1,000-fold. And it's still easy for him. He is almighty. He is almighty. Is he not? Amen. My time is almost up here. Okay? Now, here is proof. Okay, go back to Mark 10. For me, here's proof. That when he said a hundredfold, he meant literally a hundredfold. First of all, I know God can. Second, I know there isn't. See, some of the issues is people think if I got a hundredfold of 1,000 or 2,000, 3,000, man, what would I do with it? See, that's your problem. You don't know what you'll do with it. That's why you won't be bothered with it, huh? You remember the guy who got one talent? He shouldn't have gotten anything. He didn't know what to do with one talent. That's where most Christians are. The guy who got 10, he knew what to do with it. He got 5, he knew what to do with it. Didn't he? Oh, yeah. The one who got 1, he didn't know what to do with it. He was just one and buried it. And then blame his master. That's one reason why you shouldn't take wealth from the rich and give to the poor. Too many of the poor will not know what to do with it. They wouldn't. Mark 10. Here's proof to me that he must have been talking about money. Because he said, verse 30, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and with land. And then he says with persecutions. Okay, think about this now. Are you going to be persecuted? This is because this is he's talking about quality here. If you have well-behaved children, a great parent, do you get persecuted for that? Did they talk ugly about you? No, they compliment you. Oh, that's such a nice family. That's not persecution. But oh, you start getting loaded. You talk about persecution when you start getting loaded with money. I wonder if he's a drug dealer. See, that's persecution. I wonder if he's in the connection of the mafia or something. And if you're a pastor like me, you must be having himself to the church money or something. See, that's persecution. But you don't get persecution because of family. If the family is right, you get complimented for it. Amen. And then he says, well, who wants 100 kids and 100 wives and 100 husbands? You know, this is one criticism. And I'm thinking, could you use a husband? I know my wife could. A husband that's 100 times better in quality? Could you not? Couldn't you use a sister or a brother or a, you know, that is 100 times better in godly quality? All of us can. It's not about 100 children, 100 wives, 100, you know, women, all that. My battery's done. I guess they're only draining or something. glory to God. The 100-fold is real. God can, and nature proves he can. Earthly nature, as in plants and seeds that grow on those, the stellar heavens prove he can. The only people who doubt him, like anything else. Have you noticed that nature doesn't disobey God? Jesus wants to go fishing, all the fish show up. Amen. All of them do. Jesus wants to pay taxes. He says, Peter, go fishing. The first fish that comes up, the first one, will bring you the money. Open the mouth, get the money, throw it back in there, and go pay our taxes. Nature obeys God. Humans. The sun has been rising and setting exactly the way we're supposed to. Huh? And when the man of God came along and said, stop, he did. Joshua. Humans, because we have a will. We can choose to use our will anywhere we want to. God has no issues with trees and, you know, so forth. And those of us who are born again have to come in line with his will and be his helpers. Work with his purposes, not against him. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I don't know if I should turn my cell phone on and finish this thing. We'll just end it. End it right where we are. Because my iPad is lost power. I don't know why. It must be the anointing, because... Okay, I think I've talked long enough. Maybe that was a sign from God. I'll be okay. Glory to God. Folks, it's remember now the purpose. We haven't gotten there, but we can't talk about everything in one session. Amen. But the purpose of it is what makes it more than reasonable. I was thinking, you know, how many churches can be paid off? How many Christian colleges can be endowed, universities? You know? How many Christian parents want their kids to go to a Christian school but can't afford the tuition? I mean, there's plenty we can do with money. There's the poor, there's the hungry. At first I'm saying, I believe it, that the church was supposed to help the poor, not the government. Because the government doesn't have what it takes. Poverty is a spirit. It's not just, it's not a natural, it's a spirit. So you can't really do a whole lot about poverty unless you take care of the spiritual part of it. And we are the only ones equipped to do that. But the church, our confession is the church, we're getting it.
Amen.
We are getting it because there's plenty to do. We're getting it. Ah, thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. We praise you and we bless you. Glory be to Jesus. The one who died and broke the back of the curse of poverty on all of humanity. The one who gives us power to get wealth so as to establish a covenant. The covenant of redemption in Jesus. Thank you, Father, that more and more and more of your children are getting it. Not just the aspect of being personally comfortable, but being able to help others. Hallelujah. Being blessed to be a blessing. And in doing so, reflect you more accurately, so that those who are out there and are being deceived by the devil can find you. More appealing. That they may come to receive Jesus. This has been your plan. This has been your plan. We thank you, Father, for further revelation about these matters. Thank you for opening our understanding, each one of us, to these things. If we have questions, we have doubts, your word has all the answers. Your spirit does. You can answer them for us. We praise you, Lord. We bless you. We thank you that the devil is a liar. He's not our Lord. We thank you, Father, that we have money. Money does not have us. Amen. We are the boss of money. We use it to bless people and to help show them how fulfilling a life under Jesus is. And pull away the wool that the devil has on people's eyes. And it's got them loving money instead of loving Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is our task, and we are at it. With your help, we're getting it done. In Jesus' name. My friend, do you know Jesus? Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? He's the one who made all this possible. You know, he died for all the areas of the curse, spiritual death, sickness and disease, and poverty. And we'll talk about the poverty more as a mission, because we're called to do it, and also because it's not talked about as much, but he wants a relationship with you. He's been knocking on your door. You can receive him today as your Lord and Savior. Not wait any further. What do you have to do? I'll leave you in a prayer. If you're honest and sincere in your heart, that's all it takes. Honesty in your heart that you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Not religion, not churchianity, but a personal relationship with Jesus. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I receive my prayer language. where I can communicate with you and keep the devil in the dark. Thank you for it. Lead me, Jesus, to a church who will teach me how to grow in the Christian life. Thank you for that. Thank you for all of it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. My friend, I add my faith to your faith and believe for all of your life. Now that you've gotten born again, you have Jesus in your corner now. He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. And I add my faith to your faith regarding your finances, regarding your family, regarding your career, anything, if there's any healing that you desire. I agree with you for healing, physical healing, emotional, whatever kind. Because Jesus is good for it all. Hallelujah. And if you're anywhere around here in Austin area, come see us. If not, keep watching, because we'll be here sometime next week. In Jesus' name.